all of you here. It's a blessing to me, and I consider it an honor to be able to stand and speak from God's word on behalf of my Lord. But I consider it an honor that you would think enough to come. Because we want God to get all the glory. I was sitting there and I was thinking about how honored I was to have Mike and Doris Lemming as part of our church. Amen. Kendra, she said, I feel like I'm in a Gaither reunion. Sitting up here beside them singing. Amen. Do you feel honored to be in the house of the Lord? When I'm here and I see the people working like they did yesterday, I feel honored. When I'm here and I see all the work that goes into a wild game banquet, people say, how can a church that size do that? I feel honored. When I feel the presence and the love of God, like I felt when they're singing that song, I'm humbled by it. Now, we're going to be reading this morning out of the 119th Psalm. But I thought about a verse of Scripture over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8, where it said to some would be given the word of wisdom. And I thought about this morning. I have a word of wisdom for you. You men. Tuesday is Valentine's Day. Here's a word of wisdom. Don't forget. I have to write. Y'all use sticky notes. I use sticky notes. I have to write myself a sticky note sometime. Not that I don't love my wife. I just ain't that smart. You ever need help from God? You ever have something in your life and you say, Lord, I just need help. You know, there's a song that Kendra and I used to listen to. We listened to it when we were dating, and we've been married for 35 years coming up. We've been together about 36 years. And it talks about having something going on in your life and getting a phone call from a friend. It's just not enough. You can have people in your life, people that you love. You can have acquaintances. And folks, the Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens, but no one can take the place of God in your life. Amen. Nothing can take the place of the Holy Spirit in your life. No matter how good a Sunday school teacher is, no matter how good a pastor is, I've had some pastors that thought they could take the place of the Holy Spirit, but they can't. But the song says, I got another phone call, a caring friend or two. They say they have the answers for what I'm going through. But they don't understand that their ways just won't work for me. But I've got a Lord who knows my heart and meets my every need. You know, I need help from the Lord. A lot of times I need God to guide me. And, you know, until the Lord calls us home, we're going to be facing something. I used to think as I went through the different phases and ages of life that when I got to a certain place or I got to this place or I got to that place that it would be, you know, it'd be different. It'd be easier. I'd have all the answers. But you never have all the answers. I told a guy at work this week, I said, you know, if you'd have just had the wisdom when you was 20 that you have when you was 40, you'd been better off. Now I'm thinking, boy, if I just had the wisdom when I was 40, when I'm 60, what's next? The truth is, we need God every day. And as long as you're here, I believe we're going to be relying on Him. Now, message I want to try to bring to you this morning, what's on my heart is getting help from God's Word. And I want to start reading in the 119th Psalm. It's a lot about clinging to the Word of God. And then try to just share those thoughts with you. says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity and they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Now, I want to go on and read just a few more verses. In the ninth verse, it says, wherewithal or how shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is given by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, and oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, and teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Now, you know, what I want to share is getting help from God's word. I was watching a Western. You know, I'm an old Western guy, and no quotes from cartoons or from the Andy Griffith Show this morning, but I did watch something, and it was just like life. Challenges, issues, problems. Things that we all have to face. You know, I have a friend who is going through right now today. If his daughter hadn't passed, he's sitting beside the bedside of an 11-year-old little girl who is terminally ill with cancer. Been fighting that battle for a year, and they told him there's nothing else they can do. He's a Christian. His family are Christians. His friends are Christians, and his pastor's there comforting them. But that's a difficult time. He needs help from God. I know other people that are dealing with, and we've all dealt with this, or we will, the older we get, you know, we're raising children, and, you know, it's like I told somebody recently, I said, once they start driving, I said, you will constantly have it on your mind. You just will. The phone rings, are they okay? Is it them? Some of you right now, if the phone were to ring and you look down and see that were your child, you'd answer the phone. You'd get up and go out, you'd have to. Because they're on your mind. Other people that I talk to, they're going through difficulties and situations to where their parents are getting to the point in life that they can't take care of themselves anymore. You ever thought about that yourself? I told my wife this week I was making out some checks, and I said I was just having such a day that I messed up two checks and they didn't give me but 10 with a new account. I said, I'm going to have to slow down. You don't know what tomorrow holds. But no doubt right now, as I mentioned those few things, everybody in here needs something from God. The line that I heard in the Western, it had a man sitting, and they were dealing with some difficulty, and he was just sitting like this. And he was reading the Bible. Person walked up to him, and they spoke to him, and they sit down beside him quietly. And here's what they said. You read the Bible? Does it help? They had the same concerns he had. They had problems. They had challenges in their life, and they had difficulties. Do you read the Bible? Does it help? You know what? I believe it helps. And what I want to share with you this morning, how to get help from God's word, just a few thoughts that are on my heart. You know, as times have gone by in this service, be preaching. And I remember one time we had a lady in this church service, and she was sitting, she was taking notes as I preached. And this is just something that came to my heart. You know, you write your notes as a preacher preaches sometimes, and what you're writing really are the things that stick out to you, and sometimes even the things that will help you. But here's what was unique about this lady taking notes. As I was preaching, she was taking notes in Mandarin. And I saw them laying on the bench, and it was written basically in Mandarin, which is Chinese writing. And I looked, and I thought, here we are in America. She's thousands of miles from her native land. And God is speaking to her, and she's writing the things that are important. I need something from God. How are you going to get it? Number one, you must read it. Now, folks, I need a regular dose of God's Word. Now, along those lines, I think sometimes we need to hear preaching. Can I tell you that I need to hear preaching? Have you ever went to one of those places to where when you walk in, and, you know, they give you a ticket, and we do this at the Wild Game Banquet. You know, you come in, you tear the ticket in half, it's got a number on it. We tell people, don't lose your ticket. Because we put presents and prizes all across this stage, and we spend a couple of $1,000s, and we tell them, you got to stay. We want you to stay. You know what we really want them to do? We want them to hear the Word of God. Amen. We want them to hear the preaching, because we want God to have the opportunity to speak to their hearts and their minds. But here's what we tell them. You must be present to win. You know, because sometimes we call out tickets and we call out another number, and if they're not here, we go to the next number. Do you know that the first thing you have to be able to get help from God's Word is you must be present to win. You must hear it, and you must be in the presence of the Word of God, or it's not going to do anything for you. You know, I've had people ask me about services at this church. They say, do you have this kind of service and do you have that kind of service? Well, I believe if people would take advantage of what we have, it would do the job. I had a man one time trying to encourage me. He said, well, you know, we need to have this kind of service and we need to do this. And, well, we just got to do this. I said, you need to come to church when we have church. I said, if you'll come to church on Sunday and you'll support the church services and you'll support the church, we might get interested in the thing that you say that God's laid on your heart, but you've not been here to support the church. Because if we take heed, it's just like I spoke last week, God has given us enough already. If we just take and administer what God's given us, folks, I believe it'd be enough. But it's not enough. Not because God is not providing it, but it's because we're not taking what God's given us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says this, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, if you want something from God, He's got it for you. He wants a relationship with you. What God wants to do is He wants to bless you. He wants to be a part of the services of Hiram First Baptist Church, but He wants to be a part of your everyday life. You know, we're going to have church this morning, and we're going to have Awana tonight, and we're going to worship the Lord, and then we're going to get up in the morning, some of us, and we're going to have to drive to that job. Some of you are dreading it so bad already. You go home and you don't need... You ever been so dreading a job that you go home at night you can't even eat because it comes in the morning? Folks, I know not all of you are there, but some of you have been there. You know what we need? We need to know that the same God that's with us on Sunday morning is going to be with us tomorrow. He's going to be with you at school. He's going to be with you when it's exam time. He's going to be with you when you go and face those difficult decisions. But you got to be where God's at. You know, I got to take God's Word and I've got to apply it to my heart. I need a regular dose of God's Word. And without a regular dose of God's Word, what I've found is I can expect spiritual famine. You know, spiritual famine produces weakness. There's no strength. It produces dryness. It's like being in a desert and being thirsty. It produces sometimes when you're not at a place that you're supposed to be following God, doing the things that you know God has taught you to do, it causes wandering. It's drifting off into sin. What is sin? Folks, it's anything that's displeasing to God. I don't have to stand up here and describe every type of sin. If the Holy Spirit is at all present in your life, He's going to convict you of sin. It produces a troubled heart, which is no peace. Now, I want to ask you a question, and you don't have to answer this. The Holy Spirit will answer it for you. Have you ever had a time in your life that you knew you were at peace, and a time in your life that you knew you were not at peace? And when you begin to think about it, here's one thing that's true. Where you're at financially, where you're at with the age of your life, has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with it. It has to do with how you look at life and your relationship with God. You know, what happens when we're in spiritual famine is we come with a troubled heart and we find that there's no peace. The reality of it is, for a Christian, nothing else in the world matters if you are not at peace with God. What difference does it make if you have everything the world has to offer, but you don't have peace with God? What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What it does, spiritual poverty and famine causes dissatisfaction. You'll be dissatisfied with everything. You'll have trouble with every area of your life, and what the root cause is because we're not exactly where we need to be with God. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be dissatisfied with your spouse. You're going to be dissatisfied with your job. You're going to be dissatisfied with the music at church, and you're really going to be dissatisfied with a preacher. Because we're not where we need to be with God, and we're not receiving the things that we need to receive from God. And we're not allowing God to do the work in our heart because we've not heard His word. We've not read His word. We've not been under the preaching of His word. And we've not heard it. Now, folks, you can hear something and not hear it. Unfortunately, you ever had your wife look at you and say, "You're not listening to me"? I've had to scramble a few times. She said, "What did I say?" And I'm thinking, "Oh." And I try to go back to the last thing and say, "Well, maybe she said this next." But the reality of it was, it's like this. I was there and I heard, but I did not hear. Do you know you can be in the house of God like that? You can hear the word, but not hear the word. The question is, what is God saying to you? You see, something that I really believe in is I believe in the working and the power of the Holy Spirit. Y'all know that I'm just a man, just like you. Moses was too. So was Abraham. So was David. So was Jeremiah and Elijah and Isaiah. They were flesh. But they were trying their best to do the things of God most of the time. That's what I try to do. But I cannot fulfill the office of the Holy Spirit. All I can do is try to be obedient to God. But one thing that I believe and one thing that I desire for Hiram First Baptist Church is I want God to be present in this place. And when I preach and I deliver the Word of God, I want the Holy Spirit to go from person to person and row to row and speak to your hearts and your lives and let you know that God is present, that God understands your needs, and that He knows exactly where you're at. And He knows what's going on in our hearts. And in order to hear God, what you have to do is listen to His voice and learn to discern. If you go down a couple of verses in this Psalms 119, I like this 18th verse. This is the verse that God showed me several years ago. And it says this: "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, sometimes it's kind of like this. You ever read the Bible this way? I'm a Christian. It's my obligation to read the Bible. So I'm going to sit down today and I'm going to read a chapter. Now, I have to be honest with you. I've thought that way before. I've thought I'm a Christian. The preacher says, you know, I ought to read the Bible. I need to be reading the Bible. If I'm not reading the Bible every day, then I'm not being obedient to God. Have you ever sat down maybe this way and opened the Word of God and said, like it says in Psalms 119, 18 verse, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And what I found is I can sit down prayerfully asking God to speak to me and open that book and He'll begin to make it come alive. And I realize that there's something there that maybe I've heard and maybe I've read, but I've never really heard it in my heart. And God begins to speak to me. See, you have to be able to hear what the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You got to hear it. Sometimes people don't want to hear it. There's a place in the book of Acts, my name Stephen. I guess sometimes people call him the first deacon. He was preaching, telling them about Jesus, and when he began to speak to them, it so affected their hearts and their minds, the scripture says they put their hands over their ears as they ran toward him. They stopped their hearing. You ever had anybody in your life that you love enough to care about them? And let me tell you something. If you love somebody, you will tell them the truth. You know how to love somebody to death is just look over their sin and the wrong in their life. You'll love them to death because their sin will destroy them and the Holy Spirit will come and convict you because you had the opportunity as the person in their life to speak to them and you weren't obedient to God and you say you love them, you don't want to hurt them. You're loving them to death by not telling them the truth. Have you ever loved somebody enough to tell them the truth and they say, I don't want to hear it? Maybe God's beginning just to speak to them when they get to that point. Because you've got to be able to hear it and you must hear the truth to get to the next step. You got to process it. That's meditation. That's when you sit down and you take the things that you have heard and you think on them and you begin to realize where you're at. You know, I love to spend time just me and the Lord. Some of it you can say, well, that's your personality, and that's probably true. I'm the kind of guy, now y'all know I love the outdoors. I can sit out there if I have time, all day. Can't do it, can you, brother? You know what I'm doing a lot of times is I can see the bird and I see God. I see the sunrise and I see God. I'm sitting, I'm talking, and I'm hearing God, and I'm allowing God to speak to me. And sometimes I'm meditating on the Word of God, and I'm like David where I'm asking, have you ever asked God to speak to you? I have. You ever said, God, show me? Have you ever said, God, help me? Have you ever said, God, guide me? You see, the process is meditation and digestion of what the Word of God is saying. It's in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul. I had a guy one time come up to me and we were talking and he was going through some difficult things in his life, just like a lot of us do. He was at the time that he needed God to speak to him and he was standing there and we were talking and I was communicating back and forth to him and I seen a tear bubble up in his eye and he said, I do not want to do anything in my life that's going to affect my soul. And I thought, that's wisdom. Do you know that as a Christian, born-again Christian, everywhere we go, everything we do, we don't just do it by ourselves. We take God there. And when I begin to process the Word of God and allow it to speak to my heart and my mind and to go down in my soul, it begins to build understanding that this Word, whether I like it or not or want it or not, this Word applies to me. And this word has something for me. And the reason it has something for me is just like all the theme of our service today is because God loves me enough. Tell me the truth. Amen. You know, do you know that God loves you? Now, the best way that I can possibly try to describe it, and this is not even close. Don't you love your children? Don't you love your grandchildren? I had Brother Bill Stafford say one time, he said, the greatest thing that a man can ever be called in his life is grandpa. I didn't know what that was till my grandkids call me Pawpaw. Folks, that don't offend me. Now, I know some of you don't want to be called granny, but that's up to you. I like Pawpaw. And you know, I love them so much. Can you imagine being outside with your children and your grandchildren and something coming toward them to hurt them? It would not matter what it was. It would not matter how big it was. It would not matter how fierce it was. You would get between those children and those grandchildren and whatever that threat was without regard for your life because you love them that much. Sometimes there is an enemy and we can see it. Sometimes there is enemy and we must stand in the gap and not allow it by the love and the words that we give them because we care for them. You see, God loved us more than that. Sometimes I have to remind myself, looking at my children, my grandchildren, maybe we all need to think this way. They are His first. You see, you got to process it, and here's the last thing. And this is where it really matters. Is you've got to heed it. You know, you can hear the Word of God, and you can be in a position that God speaks to your heart, and the love of God, which is beyond our comprehension to understand, can be squeezing upon our hearts, and we can realize that we need to make a change or we need to turn. But if we don't ever turn, we'll never receive the benefit from what God wants to give us. You see, you must heed it. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 13 says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. In the book of James chapter 1 and verse number 22, the scripture says this, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, the Word can only help you if you receive it. There's a lot of people that need help. Have you ever tried to help somebody? And I know some of you have. Some of us have been hurt by this. You try so hard to help somebody and you see that there is a great need, but they won't receive what you bring. You know, it's to the point today in America we have so many problems. There's a show called Intervention. And people are in great need and you see the need and in some cases they go and get them and they force them to go to other places. But, you know, it's really difficult to force somebody to receive anything. People have to get to the point that they're willing to receive it. And what grieves my heart is when I think about the people that I have loved, that I have cared about, that I've tried to talk to, that I've tried to give something to help them. They just won't receive it. Sometimes my wife and I talk about it. She said, I'm glad I'm not God. I just step on her foot and pour it down her throat. Amen. I would. You think I'd let somebody destroy their life with meth and drugs and alcohol if I could stop it? You think I'd let some young man go off and do something that would destroy his future if I could stop it? I can tell you that I love you. I can tell you that the people at Hiram First Baptist Church love you. And I can tell you most importantly that God loves you. But if you don't receive it, I can't make you do that. See, this word cannot help you if you don't receive it. It cannot help you if you don't accept it. Here's the thing about the Word of God. Sometimes I think about this when God gives me messages. Y'all know this, but I won't say it. I didn't write this book. And sometimes the Word of God is so powerful that all the preacher has to do is stand and read it. He doesn't have to say anything. He just read it. And it speaks because it's God's Word. And if you want to spend the time, if you're willing to spend this time, study the canon of Scripture. Study the languages that it was written in. Study how old it is. Study how that the Bible supports itself and it's not circular reasoning. Okay, if you want to study the things that are tangible proofs that God is real, what has been attempted by the world to disprove the resurrection, I'll tell you, every time a stone is turned over, it proves the Word of God. That's why the Scripture says that if these should hold their peace, the rocks would cry out. Every time archaeologists overturn a stone, the Word of God is proved to be true. It's God's Word. But you got to accept it. Sometimes the world says this, I don't like it. You know why they don't like it? It doesn't line up with the way people live. People get offended at the Bible. They get offended at God because it's not because that God doesn't love them. It's because they say if they were to say that that word or that book is true, then it must be what this book says about me is true. And if I have to agree with it, then I have to agree that my life is not right with God. But can I tell you, this word will not help you if you don't accept it. The Word won't help you if you don't heed it. You must believe what the Word says and do what it says. Amen. I want help from God's Word. And what I found, and they're getting ready to come with a song, how do you know the will of God? I've had people ask me that. How do you know the will of God? Here's the answer. By doing the will of God. Because the reality of it is God has already told us so much, and if we would just take and apply what God has given us to the areas of our life that God has revealed to us, our obedience produces His work in our life. And if you obey God today, God will show you what to do tomorrow. But do you know that it really starts now? It's not today and tomorrow. Maybe it's the next 15 minutes. Maybe it's the next 5 minutes. That if I listen to the Spirit of God and the movement of God and I obey God now, then God will show me what to do next. I need help in my life because I can't do it by myself. I need help to know what to do for my future. I need help to be able to raise my children and be the man that I'm supposed to be in my home. I need help to be able to be the husband that I'm supposed to be to my wife. And can I tell you, as much as I love the Word of God and I love to preach, y'all know that. Folks, let me tell y'all something. I need God to help me to be able to be a pastor. I need God to be able to help me to be able to minister to people that come up in the foyer and they say, I need somebody to talk to. Because I can't do it without Him. If you're here this morning and you don't know Him, next 5 minutes, maybe the most important 5 minutes of your life. God spoke to your heart. I want to tell you something about the way we do this here. We got an altar across here. We call this an altar. And we believe in prayer. And we believe when we come to the Lord and we cry out to Him, we believe that He hears us. And we believe that He cares about us. We believe that if we ask Him, and the Bible says this, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we'll be saved.
Yes.
You know what else we believe? We believe when we've got burdens. Just like these that I mentioned. This boy that I work with that's got an 11-year-old daughter that's not expected to make it through the weekend. You know, I heard this weekend they were talking about over in Turkey that the death toll is over 20,000. And I heard a testimony of a woman who was crying. Refugee from Syria to Turkey, living in an apartment building that collapsed. She said when it collapsed, we were under the table, and when we woke up, she said, I saw a little crack of light, and I had a 5-year-old daughter and a 17-year-old daughter, and the whole time she told, everything she told, she was crying. She said, I pulled them out, and it was cold. We didn't have any clothes. We stood by the fire. Our feet were cold. We finally made it to a refugee camp, but because we were from Syria, they said, this is for people from Turkey. She said, we went back with no clothes and tried to build a fire. All the time she's crying. And as I listened to it, I couldn't help but in my heart feel the burden and the burn. Every day, every day, every day, people feel those burdens. And sometimes what we say is, well, where is God at? I'll tell you where he's at. He's standing right in the place that people left him. And what God wants to do is do the best he can to be the fulfiller of his promises in your life and to work in your life. But you must come to him and you must allow him to be first. We may not be standing around that fire trying to get warm, but there's somebody here this morning that needs something from God. And the way you're going to get it is to come and to heed and allow God to do what only God can do. Would you please rise to your feet? Would you come?